Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue our discussion yesterday, which we talked about the essence of the Christian life. What is the essence of the Christian life? And I want to talk about it because I think it's important for us in this moment of trial and testing and confusion and discouragement in the life of the church to make sure we keep our eye on Jesus' end game, what I believe to be Jesus' end game in this time of challenge and trial for the church. No doubt this is a very difficult time. What I see at the heart of it all is the Lord is bringing the church into a place where he's disciplining her. He disciplines those whom he loves, Scripture says. And if he doesn't discipline us, he said we're slaves and we're not sons. God is our Father, and he disciplines those whom he loves. There's nothing the Lord loves more than his bride. And his bride in some places is sick. Even at the highest levels of the leadership of the church, there's sickness there. There's compromise. There's corruption there. And the Lord is coming to root out that corruption. It's a deep wound, and it's a wound that only he can get at. Now, he's given the church, he gave the church over the last 2-3 decades to get after this, and there's been opportunities to try to remedy the problem, and some measure of repentance, some measure of change has taken place. But because of deep spiritual strongholds at the center of it, and maybe leaders in compromise and human weakness and the rest of it, it's only gone so far. And so this is a reality that the Lord himself has to deal with for us. And he's going to do it. He's determined to do it. He's determined to bring purification to his bride. And purification means, in part, what I began to talk about yesterday and want to talk about this whole week, to bring the church back to her essence. As I said yesterday, the essence of what it means to be Christian, the essence of what separates Christianity from every other religion or philosophy on the planet, is eternal life, is the eternal life that's in the Son of God. Because Jesus alone, God's plan, and why Christianity is utterly unique, and every other religious life, even though there's light there that can be seen and respected, and you can see refractions of God's truth present in them. So it's not a condemnation of others. But no other religion or philosophy has a capacity to save the human race. Because no other religion has the antidote for the sin-sick condition, the mortal condition the human race is under because of the reality of sin and the consequence of sin, which is eternal death. Because sin kills man's spiritual life. We're made in God's image and likeness. We're meant to be united with him in a way no other creature, no other living thing can be united to him. He's given us a mind, a will. He's given us a soul, a spirit. And sin destroys our capacity to be united to God, to the pure, beautiful, eternal life of God. That life, as I said at the end of the program yesterday, according to the proclamation of the apostles and the words of Jesus himself, in him was life. The eternal life that was with the Father, John said, it's appeared to us in a person. He said, where'd you see it? The eternal life? I mean, he's speaking to people, right? He's writing a letter, he's speaking, they're describing. We saw, we touched a life no one in this world has ever seen or beheld. And we saw in it God's glory. And God's glory was revealed to us in his Son, who's come to us, and he walked among us. He's come to give this race of people, mortally wounded, an antidote, a healing. He's come to save. And salvation means making it possible for human beings to be united to the very life of God. As it was united in Jesus, the eternal life of God to human flesh. In the person of Jesus, the God-man. What we see in him that God intends to unite heaven and earth. That's salvation. That's God's action. And it happens in a person. This is the central claim of the Catholic Church, of Christianity. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come just from meditation or from praying harder. It's not a generic force that's just out there in the ether and we're all just sort of already absorbed in it and it's all us already and we're all already one. No, it comes in a person. God indeed has come to save us in his son Jesus. And salvation means, look at it in Luke's gospel today. I want us just to say a few words about power. At different times, Jesus, at very crucial times, in the Gospels and both in the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus said, you will receive power. You know, the Greek word there is dynamis, like dynamite, like explosive power to live an entirely new way of life. And that power is essentially the Holy Spirit, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit who overshadowed Our Lady at the Incarnation. The Holy Spirit is the one who made possible Our Lady's own Immaculate Conception. It's the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her and the whole mission of the Church. It's the Holy Spirit who was with Jesus throughout his life and ministry, as he declared as he came forth from the River Jordan. It's the Holy Spirit that equipped him to fight and defeat the devil and to fulfill his mission. And as Pope Benedict XVI said, it's clear from the Acts of the Apostles that what Luke, the writer of Luke, what the apostles are trying to say is that the giving of the Holy Spirit is the culmination of Jesus' entire mission. So I want to talk about that a little bit today and talk about it through the rest of this week and how we access that power, because the Christian life is an empowered life. It's a new life that at its core is new because the Holy Spirit is the life source. And the Holy Spirit is given to us in baptism. And the Christian life is a life living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what the sacraments do. The sacraments communicate to us more of the life of that Holy Spirit that's present in us, strengthening us, feeding us, equipping us, uniting us to Jesus, uniting us to the Father, uniting us to one another. And that power is a new power and a new capacity that enters our lives to make it possible for us to live a new way of life. And it's possible because of the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's possible for that life to die in us again through mortal sin, through rebellion against God, through sloth and laziness, the seven deadly sins, all of that stuff. Those are realities that choke off the life of God. And guess what? That can happen to cardinals and bishops and priests and lay people and everybody. And we can get seduced. I know I've committed serious sins in my life at times in my life. I had to thank God for the grace and mercy of the Church and the sacrament of confession and the Holy Eucharist and the communion and God's mercy, all of it. It's a battle, friends. And if we fall asleep in the battle, this life, this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to kill this life in you. This is the only threat he has. You could be the most powerfully humanitarian person that's ever walked the face of the earth. You could be the richest, wealthiest person, and you gave all your money to helping, you know, society at all kinds of levels in every way possible. The devil's happy to let you do that. Maybe he's not totally happy, but he's willing to let it happen, because it ultimately doesn't harm his kingdom and his rule. What he doesn't want is for you to have Jesus, God himself, dwell in you. and to make you a temple of the living God. He does not want you to become a child of God. He wants you to remain his slave. And that's what we are, friends, apart from the saving work of Jesus. So, Luke chapter 24, Luke's account of the final appearance, or the first appearance, excuse me, to all the apostles post-resurrection. They're waiting. They saw Jesus crucified. They were afraid. They were confused. They didn't quite know what to believe. They didn't know. They didn't remember everything Jesus had said to them. They were in a kind of panic and sorrow and sadness and confusion, probably self-loathing because of their own abandonment of Jesus. There's a lot going on in these men. Jesus appears to them. I mean, this is big. This is a big moment. What does Jesus want them to see? First of all, he said, look, it's me. I'm not a ghost. It's me. I've risen from the dead. Touch my wounds. Here, look for yourself. Now let's sit down and have something to eat. Look, a ghost and a spirit doesn't eat. It doesn't have a physical body. He has a glorified body here. It's not fully reached its glory. He hasn't ascended fully to the Father, but it's him. So he wants them to see that indeed he's risen. And the new life that's in Jesus has brought human flesh from death to life. That's never happened before. And it's happened in Jesus. Here's why he's the only antidote. Because death could not hold him down, which is the very thing Peter will preach on Pentecost. Then Jesus goes on and teaches them. He said, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer. That's the Christ, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, who Jesus is. That the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. That's exactly what happened. Jesus said, so what you saw and what I'm here to tell you is everything has gone according to plan, despite what you may have thought. This is not plan B. This is my Father's will that has happened. This is the destiny of the Father's Messiah, right? His son Jesus. He said, so therefore now, this has happened in verse 47. He says, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Do you see what's foremost on Jesus' mind? Deal with the sin problem. Preach the gospel. Bring repentance to the world. It's the only way people can have this eternal life and pass from death to life. He goes on, he says, do this beginning in Jerusalem. He said, you're my witnesses now to these things, these realities that have unfolded. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus' direct command. This is such a central moment. And what does Jesus want them to be clear about? I've come to deal with the sin problem. That's going to produce the death problem. And you're going to help me do it. But you cannot help me do it without my power. And I promise you, I will clothe you in power. Let's talk about that more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.